following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first.
You betcha.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
We are podcast famous. Episode 147.
Wow.
Whoa!
We're getting close to something.
Yeah.
You got excited. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I did see something weird today. There's this guy in Indonesia. Did you see this on Facebook? That he claims he was born like in 18 something. Mm-hmm. So he'd be he's like 146 years old or so. Yeah. And it was like,
that's
wow.
What he says.
But they didn't, in Indonesia, they didn't start doing birth records officially till 1900. But he had some kind of paperwork, and the BBC actually interviewed him a year ago and said, what's the secret? And he goes, well, I still smoke, and I have a lot of patience. But anyway, but I guess the person now that has an official record where they can actually document it, she was 126 when she passed. But
and in Indonesia, they count the womb. It's like
that's a year.
Certain Asian countries will count the womb. Yeah, you start off at a year.
Huh.
Oh.
Cheater.
Yeah,
cheater.
I'm like, I don't want to be 146. Shoot me.
No.
Yes,
no.
You don't want to live 100 more years?
No, and not look like that guy did. Oh God. All right, sorry. That was horrible.
This is an audio.
Look like a raisin. Yeah.
Yeah. Raisin. But
human raisin. Anyway, but yeah.
Geeky stuff. First, we would like to start off by thanking everybody who entered into our sonnet and haiku weekend poetry contest. We had a large number of entries, and we were very excited about them. I will tell you right now that the ratio of haikus to sonnets was about one sonnet for every five haikus. Y'all like the short stuff, which made the haiku contest just a little bit more difficult, but nevertheless fun to read. And then we did have the sonnets as well, which of course part of the reason why we were doing it this past weekend was to celebrate National Poetry Month by announcing the winner once it was over.
And it was kind of close to Shakespeare's birthday.
Yeah, kind of close to his birthday slash death day. So. And none of you killed Shakespeare, so that was good.
Well, at least we hope not.
Yeah, but without further ado, I've called upon, since two of the judges are here, the other two, Tiffles and Starnslord, we were hoping that you guys would read the winners for us. So let's start off by reading the haiku.
Oh, okay.
And Starnslord, if you could drum roll, please, read off the title as well as the author.
Absolutely. I'll be reading the haiku Kamikaze Rain by Rod Richardson. Once again, Kamikaze Rain by Rod Richardson. Does he know he won?
No.
Whoa.
He does. Now he does.
Rod, congratulations. Rod Richardson's Kamikaze Rain. And this will probably take me about 5 hours to read. No, okay. Rain attacks my space like tiny silver skydivers whose chutes did not open. And that's a haiku.
That's
a
haiku.
Yeah, that's good.
So the key for that was they had to use the word attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he did right in the first line.
Yep.
So thank you so much.
Good job.
Good. And
congrats. Yeah.
And for the sonnet, it had to be the Song of Kaiju or the Story of Kaiju.
Mm.
So without further ado.
I'll be reading Monstrous Refuge by Jim Ryan. I'll try to do you justice, Jim. The Monster Island Immigration Board is now requiring two forms of ID to stem the rising tide of human hordes that come upon its shores seeking to flee. The giant frog-like beings rule the land along with lizards 50 stories tall, and massive moths with 1,000-foot wingspans, the humans seek to live among them all. Pteranodons will not delay their flight, nor flying turtles, nor three-headed drakes, for something much more worse gives them such a fright that kaiju are a welcome change of pace. When all the mainland teems with demagogues, 'tis better now to live with giant frogs.
Yay!
Yay! Good job!
A subtle political reference there.
I
yes,
mean.
Subtle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just so subtle.
So subtle.
So subtle. It was huge. It was huge, I tell you.
Wait a second.
So congratulations to Rod Richardson and Jim Ryan for winning the poetry contest. As you know, you've now both won a ticket to the Geek Gala.
Whoa!
So we'll be sending you an email to let you know about that, as well as a link to this podcast. And we'll be posting the winners and copies of it up on the website as well. So, good thing this is an audio podcast, because you won't see the stuff all over my face that my husband's...
Schmutz
from
it was from Pizza Schmutz. It's not other
it's
stuff.
It's not Schmutz. Husband Schmutz.
A little Parmesan.
Although, you know, it's not on the paper, but big news for us. We are approaching our one-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, I was like, where's she going?
Yeah. Okay, what's happening on this podcast? Because I was not informed.
Clear the table!
I'm getting excited.
You boy, are you? All
right. We are both the barren people, so no, that's not it. We are giving birth to... another podcast episode.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But May 8th is our 1 year
Monday
wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations. Yay.
So not so long ago.
Oh.
But still in Starnes Deep Smith.
Oh. Indeed.
Speaking about other things we're in love with, mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out today.
Let's spoil it for Tiffany and Carol.
Yeah.
All right, so first scene.
Does it come out today or does it come out tomorrow?
Today.
Today.
Thursday evening.
Thursday
evening. Okay, that's right.
On May the 4th, 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
Okay, that was my lightsaber sound. So we get to see an advanced screening of it. The cool thing was that we were able to go with a lot of the people who won from the I Am Groot contest. So if you're not a member of CharlotteGeeks.com, you should go ahead, get on there, and subscribe so that you get notification, because we have some really cool contests coming out lately.
Yeah.
And we were able to give Groots away, and we'll post a picture of the winner up on the Guardians of the Geekery website with her stuff. But we got into the theater, and a bunch of people were asking me if it was 3D, and it did not say 3D on the
pass
at all. And then they were making the announcements, and they started rolling the videotape, and we saw the Marvel intro, just the little, you know, comic book pages flipping, and we were all like, And then they did the opening scene, and it was like a landscape, you know, kind of like Star Trek the reboot with the car coming down the highway. Mm. That's as far as I'm going to spoil it for you. And we're like, nope, this is yellow and red and green. And so they paused it right there. And I have to say, kudos to the Regal's Phillips Place staff, because the next thing you know, they were like, halt! And they started running up and down the aisles handing out 3D glasses. So we actually got to see it in 3D. So that was pretty amazing. And they actually scrolled it back to the beginning. So we actually got to see the Marvel flip through in 3D, which I can't remember having seen that. I mean, there were scenes in there from recent Marvel movies, and it was pretty amazing. Although, you know, Thor's hammer kind of ended up in my face, but that's another conversation.
And that was
my
not
opinion
a
of the movie, without spoilers, is that if you loved the first movie, all the things that you loved about the first movie are acknowledged and expanded upon. So if there were certain, if you liked the type of humor they had, there was definitely lots of that humor. If you liked some of the emotion that was on, it was definitely there. And if you weren't a huge fan of the first movie, you're not gonna love this movie, but I loved it. I'm very excited to see it again tonight with you.
Yes, I will be there. In IMAX 3D.
Yes, and in comfy seats where we can scroll back. We were in the rocker seats, and there were people behind us, so I was constantly concerned that I was going to be in their space. And, you know, we were in the reserved media seat sections because, you know, we do the podcast, and we work with CharlotteGeeks.com and stuff like
that. We're special.
And those seats are usually not crowded.
They were.
But all around us was crowded. So this older guy who had also, and his wife who had also gotten reserved seats, came in, and there's nobody in our row, and we were sitting in the middle to have best optimum angle, and he wants to sit right next to me, and I just looked at him like, and I kind of had like, I had my chips and I had my napkins and everything in the cup holder over there, you know, and his wife like took the napkins and tossed them on the floor, and I was like, the napkins, and so she went and got me more, and then they ended up moving one seat down, but I was like, people, there's no need to crowd up in the reserved section.
They had never been
but
there.
But that's like a social thing. I remember I once saw The Lady in the Van, the Maggie Smith film.
Yes.
And it was like a Thursday night. It was, you know, just an off night. I was like the only one in the theater for the longest time, and then these like three couples came in, and they sat like right behind me, right next to me, and right in front of me. I'm like, there's an entire theater here.
I literally go like red with rage when people do that. I really do because I'm like, why? Like if the movie theater is full, it's full. Yeah, obviously, it's full. You kind of you bargain, but like when it's basically empty, why sit in the same row as me or why sit in my vicinity? Particularly because I'm not a person sitting in the middle. Even when it's empty, as Matt knows,
I'm sitting
on the end. So it's like,
I was
Why sitting near me?
The local art house theater. So I was sitting in the shortened rows because there's a couple of rows in that theater that are short.
Yeah.
They don't go all the way across. And I deliberately choose those because they're kind of the off seats and I can get up and, you know, go run to the restroom and nobody is on that side. But they were sitting right next to me. I'm like, what the hell? There are better seats. No, I didn't. The couple that sat next to me moved down a couple. But I was just saying, I'm too polite to say anything.
I always move.
I was
and
like,
I will, like, look at them with disdain.
But, I mean, I had to remove my, because I had my feet propped up on the seat in front of me. But then when a couple sat right there, I'm like, there's seven rows in front of you.
I've got even more, one bizarre. This was, like, I was a branch manager of this electronics company. I had a cover in the Greenville branch. I lived here in Charlotte. And so they put me up with a hotel. It was a weekday night, so I was like, oh, I got in, and I was like, okay, I'll go over to the theater. And it was like one of those mega theaters, and I was the only one there, and I sat in the very back row. That's where I used to always sit, and I'm right in the middle, and this couple comes, like, you know, sits right next to me. She was directly, almost touching me, and this isn't the big recliners. These are like, you can barely get your fat ass, I could barely get my fat ass in them. I was even heavier back then, and it was like, okay. And so it starts, we're still the only three in there, and I just stayed there. I was like, okay, whatever. And then he proceeded to start making out. And it was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It was a very funny movie, and it was like, I was like, and I'm laughing, and then I'm like, they were like really making out. And like, he's got his hand down her shirt. She starts putting her hand, and I was like, okay. And I just went down like three seats, and like, I was half watching the movie and half watching them, and I was like, you know, my fantasies, I'm like, I don't want to be part of this type of threesome, so I'm not really, so, but it was the closest thing to like a penthouse letter where I was like, it could really go this way. But they definitely want somebody to watch. I mean, they knew I was there, but it's the most bizarre thing I've ever, I was like, wow. I mean, they were really making out, and I'm like, why?
Why would you do that?
It's just weird, yeah.
That's so crazy.
But yeah, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, absolutely loved it. I have a spoiler-free review, which was the most difficult thing in the world to actually write. I mean, it probably took me, you can ask Joey, she fell asleep last night while I was writing. It probably took me over 2 hours to write this silly little thing that's like 500 words, but it was so difficult because you just want to say all the stuff. And
yeah.
I like reread it this morning and I was like, oh my God, I don't even like this. But anyway, if you want to read that, and doesn't spoil anything, but
don't say you don't like it, then why would anybody want to read it?
Oh, read it, it's fun. But there's no spoilers, what I'm saying, so definitely read it. But I will say, it to me, it was funnier than the original. And Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those comic books I never even read, and I had no expectations to see that film. and it's my favorite Marvel film. And now this is tied with that. So
I think one of the reasons why it was funnier was because if you saw the first one,
you now already know the characters. Throwbacks. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you already know the characters. You don't have to introduce the characters; they're already known to you. So
yeah, I would say that the characters definitely have a little bit more rounding out. Mm. Although it's not this intense character study, it wasn't Suicide Squad. Let me give you the backstory on every single person.
Yeah. Let me stop the movie and give you the backstory on every single person. So.
One thing I think they did really well, without spoiling anything, is they had a couple scenes where there's basically all this action going on, and then you have two characters or three characters interacting with that stuff in the background, where it's like, it's very much comic booky, where something huge is going on and they're not really paying attention to it. And you're kind of seeing it in the background and you're like, I want to see that scene. And you're like, it's just really cool.
One other thing that I want to say that I believe is spoiler free.
Okay.
The best part was the trailers that you've seen, even if you've seen the trailers, you have not seen the movie. And that is not always the case.
No, that's...
There are one or two scenes that happen a little later in the movie, but the majority of what you see is in the first third of the movie. So there's still a whole bunch more to go. I will say this, and this is probably a little bit of a spoiler, so la 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 la.
Oh, wait, I saw it.
I got mad at one part in the movie. For a character. Twice in the movie, I got mad at the way a character was treated by other people. Hmm. And I had to talk myself down a little bit. Because I loved the character so much.
No.
So, I will see... You know me, though, because you look over at me when we share a hotel room at a convention. We have two separate beds, typically.
Whatever happens at RavenCon, stays there.
Let me tell you, she was sharing a bed with somebody else. I was over on my bed going, I got all this room.
I hated you so bad. I look over and she's like sprawled across. And like my bunkmate was, who I love, she was out at other events, and so I had to refrain from sprawling across the bed, knowing that if I was sleeping, she would have to like roll me over. So I was having to stay confined in my little area. But yeah, you know me, I cry at AT&T cards,
I mean, what were we watching? We were watching Harry Potter.
Yeah, we put it on for all of 60 seconds, and I started blubbering. I'm like,
are you crying?
Like, yes! Why? You should be crying, too! Oh.
If it makes you feel better, I've been listening to Gilmore Guys podcast, and...
I love that title.
No, I really like the podcast a lot. I mean, not as good as ours, obviously, but, like, second. I'm just listening to random episodes, and this particular one is going over the first episode of the Gilmore Girls: A Year in a Life. Mm. So they do a really good job because they pull clips from the show and they'll play it when they're talking about it and stuff like that. And so they happen to, and I know you've seen it, Giddy Geeker, like they happen to replay the fight at the beginning of the show between Lorelai and Emily, like after the father's funeral. And I just started, like, I'm at a stoplight driving to work, and I'm like, my lips start shaking, and I just start bawling and everything, and I'm like, what is happening to me? But, I mean, this wasn't even a visual.
Yeah. I was just like, So, yeah, no. There's definite moments in there where, and I cried. I cried in the movie, too, so not a shock.
I teared up a little, too, yeah. And Baby Groot, oh, too adorable. Okay.
But okay, make sure that you stay. There are five short scenes at post-credit. Yeah. And also the credits themselves, as always, have some little Easter eggs in them. So really, they want you to pay attention to all the people that worked on the thing.
And what you say was key, too. The after-credit scenes are short. So if you think your bladder's about to explode after 2 hours of this thing, you'll make it. Because they're pretty quick. So,
So, all right. So, in other movie news, couple cool releases today. The Wonder Woman is going to be running the NASCAR circuit. I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, Danica is going to have it on her head. So I think as the only woman in NASCAR that I know of, that's pretty.
So they give it to the one woman.
Right? Yeah. No, there's actually some other women coming up in the ranks, but she's the top seeded woman in NASCAR. Which is really nice. There are other women in the field. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but I will tell you that there's other stuff. But the car is kick-ass.
And if you're in the Charlotte area, that car will actually be in a race. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I think in 2 weeks or so, right on Memorial Day, it'll be here in Charlotte at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is oddly enough in Concord. Anyway,
And then, and also Logan, which you loved, I have still not seen yet. But that's going to get a black and white.
No.
It's good.
I was sick.
Oh, that's
right.
She was sick, and I went on a Friday and saw it because I knew she was sick, and we just never.
And I just haven't gotten to see it yet. So, but now they're having a black and white theatrical release, which could be really interesting.
Yeah, they did this with success for Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
I could see Logan in black and white.
So can I. That could be actually, I could see Mad Max Fury Road in black and white as 100%. Well. It actually worked out very well.
Yeah.
So I can see this one working out really well too. Very but hard, it's a really great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
I definitely want to see it. And we actually got an AMC card for my birthday, so hopefully you know, the worst part is right now we're in the worst and best part is we're right now in the midst of con season.
Yeah.
So at least twice a month we're either at a con or going places to promote a con. So this weekend, speaking of which, we will be at Rebel Base for Free Comic Book Day, and we have a ton of movie posters that we are going to be giving away, including Wonder Woman and It, and
Wonder Woman. It's like four different ones.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Some of them are the full size movie posters, and some are the minis. Lego Ninjago. We have some posters for that. Also, Going in Style, which is the movie with Michael Caine and
Morgan
Freeman. And what's the other guy's name?
Alan Arkin.
That's it. The three of them. We have the posters, but we also have piggy banks, which are really cool little pigs that are clear. And then we have some bookmarks and some mugs. And those are first come, first serve. We're also getting two of the Alien Covenant posters. And we got some stuff today. I don't even know
what we need to open it, so
we're also going to have for the Mummy's theatrical release at Con Carolinas.
Oh, cool.
We'll have a ton of stuff. And some of the stuff, we haven't even opened it yet, but I'll tell you what, it is heavy. So whatever it is, it's going to be cool because it weighs a ton.
It might actually be a mummy.
The mummy. No, it's too flat. So make sure that you come out to Rebel Base for Free Comic Book Day. You can go to freecomicbookday.com for a list of all of the comic book activities in the area, but definitely there are many of our geeks that make a day out of it and just go from comic book store to comic book store. They all have different free stuff for the day. They also have special sales. So show some local bookstores and comic book locations some love today and make sure to go out there this Saturday. So you can check us out there. Also, Carol and I were at RavenCon this weekend.
We were.
This
past weekend, yes.
We got into a little bit of trouble.
Just a tiny little bit of trouble.
Okay, Carol was on the balcony trying to light Fireball whiskey on fire.
I was
trying. I have video to prove it.
How much of the whiskey had you had at that time, Carol?
Way at least too much.
Seven or eight shots that I counted.
Oh,
way too much.
Plus, you had a sake bomb.
I did have a sake bomb, which was probably not the best. Don't do that, people. Don't mix those two. It's really bad.
She was hurting the next morning.
I was hurting the next morning, but it wasn't an extended hurt. I got over it fairly quickly.
I was hurting the next morning, and I'm usually not the drunk one at the con.
You were high on the plum wine there, honey. but yes, trying to ignite Fireball whiskey is not... We don't sanction this.
Yes.
It
also,
doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
All I did was kill a friend's lighter because I spit on it.
Oh, God.
So,
Okay.
I have video, but unfortunately the video was taken by somebody who was equally drunk that happened to be closer than Carol and her counterpart. So you can see where she tries, and you can see the lighter light up, and then you just see not a lighter.
Yeah.
But I do have video.
So, but it's a, I really enjoyed RavenCon. It's a very nice hotel. It's kind of this odd mix of new and old hotel.
And so we were in the old section.
Yeah, there's this new part of the hotel, which is really nice, but then the rooms are in an old section, which is just this maze.
And it does, it's not even a logical maze. There are ramps to get up the stairs, to get
to certain rooms. It was just, and we were like tucked way back in the corner because we were doing a room party. And
we had people thinking that they were in the movie The Shining.
The Shining.
Mm. They were waiting to turn a corner and see the twins.
But it was a very nice con. It's the first time I'd ever been to RavenCon. I think either one of us have ever been to RavenCon.
It was a great dealer's room.
Yeah. Very nice dealer's room.
I spent more money than I usually spend.
Yeah, same here. It's a very literary heavy con. So if you're into books, guest of honor this year was Mercedes Lackey, and next year it's Chuck Wendig. So
Mercedes Lackey and her very funny husband Larry Dixon.
Yeah. Aww. So I highly recommend it. We had a fun time, and our party was a success. We had to kick people out at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we had waves of people coming in.
Yeah.
It's not a party heavy con.
No.
So I think that
helped our party
because people wanted to find us and we had good booze. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Now, I didn't go to the panels and stuff. I tended to work the table. But I still had a good time.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh.
So, but definitely you can see here, we'll have two away team segments. The first one with the dimensional rifts.
Yes.
We posted today.
Yes.
Yesterday.
And the one with Charming Underclothes we will post tomorrow, which will be Friday. It'll be part of your Friday fun day. So make sure to check them out. Both Dimensional Rifts and Charming Underclothes will be appearing at Con Carolina.
Right on.
So don't feel like you've missed out. Check it out so that you can find out what cool stuff is coming.
Exactly.
And you'll surprise them when you sing along to some of the songs. Wouldn't that be fun too?
Yeah, and I would like to just give a shout out to Randy, who's part of the Beer Powered Time Machine. Because he talked all over our drunk dial call.
Oh,
and so therefore
that.
Nobody heard how drunk I really was.
Good.
They heard how drunk I really was, though.
Yeah, we couldn't even say Cider Powered Time Machine.
So. Cider Powered.
And you're like, you're talking over me. I'm like, you're not talking sense. And for me to say that after six shots tells you something.
Whoa.
Okay. We were in our cups.
Okay, so we're done with that. Let's talk about the Dark Tower trailer.
Yes.
I saw that today as well.
I'm not drunk.
See if Cider Powered Time Machine Dark Tragedy.
Cider House Rules.
Tower trailer dropped today, or yesterday, I should say. This is the first extended trailer for the movie that comes out in August. It looks good. I thought it actually looks pretty good. Idris Elba as Roland the Gunslinger and Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black. And there's a lot of controversy about casting Idris Elba as Roland because in the books, Roland is white. And there's a huge subplot with a character named Susanna who is a black woman. And there's some racial antagonism between those two characters. So casting Idris Elba, a black man, as Roland, fans of the book series are worried
that
entire subplot is going to go away. I will say, looking at the trailer and looking at the IMDb page, it does not look like they're focusing on Susanna at all in this movie. Now, this is an 8-book series, so they have a lot of material to draw from. But
do you think they'll come
back to
it?
I think it depends on
how this does. Or
yeah, I think it really depends on how this does. I think they're a bit worried about it. They're releasing it in August, which is never a really great month for movies. However, Guardians of the Galaxy was released in August, but that was the one movie that Marvel had no idea how it would do. So
similar.
I think they don't know how it's going to do because there is kind of a slight controversy with the hardcore fans of the book.
Right.
But
and people who've never seen the movie, it's a dense book.
It's It's an 8-book series, and it's incredibly dense. At one point, Stephen King himself becomes a character in the book. It goes all over the place. It touches on several different universes in Stephen King's library as well. So there's a lot of material to draw from. I think, you know, you can keep that antagonism with Susanna without having to make it racial.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I understand people.
Yeah. They're a bit worried. Frankly, I thought it looked very good.
Good.
I love Idris Elba, and I thought he looked just ridiculously awesome as Roland. I'm not a huge fan of Matthew McConaughey, but he looked really good as the Man in Black, too. So.
Yeah, ever since he did, what was that thing on HBO?
Oh, True Detective.
True Detective.
True Detectives. Oh, my God. It was like, he can do whatever. I'll watch his Lincoln commercials. I don't care. I'll watch him be silly.
Yeah, he can be
That's
silly.
That's the way I felt about
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the movie where I saw where I was like, holy shit, this guy can actually act. And then True Detective came out.
All right.
He's more than that now.
So also some really good acting.
Yeah.
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
So all three of us have seen it. Have you seen it, Tiffany?
No.
Okay.
So this is a Hulu original series.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a difficult watch.
It's a very difficult watch. It's a terrifying watch.
It's a terrifying watch. And I have to say, I haven't read the book in probably about 30 years. It's been a long time.
It's that old, really?
It came out in 85, I think.
95.
No, 85. This is an 80s book. I read Handmaid's Tale, and I'm almost positive. Now I'm going to look. It's difficult as a woman to read this, but I think it's also important as a woman to read this and watch this.
Yeah, I definitely was terrified for Joey and my sister and all the...
Okay.
Yeah, not you at all. No, all the women in my life, I was just like, that stuff always creeps me out. I'm like, oh my God.
So it's very much in the same vein as like 1984, in the sense that societal changes happen in such a way that perhaps people are surprised, and by the time they try to get up and do something, it's too late.
Yeah.
Which is really scary with what's going on right now.
Right.
As somebody who hasn't read the book, and that would be me, I was curious how much they modernized parts of it. But because of the extreme timeliness that's there. And then when I went back and read, a lot of it is very true. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I think one of the most unique factors, and I think this is where the 95 came in, is the author in an interview in 1995 talked about the fact that nothing that happens in the book is something that hasn't happened somewhere. So every single thing that happens in these tales has happened in some country, somewhere, to people.
Exactly.
And that's what's terrifying. She just kind of gathers it all together into this story.
And for those of you who haven't read the book or don't know the story, this is kind of it's somewhat of a dystopian future, but it's not like apocalyptic or anything like that. No. There is this disease that basically makes a large portion of the female population sterile. And these handmaids are basically
baby machines.
Yeah.
Concubines
who've been found to have had successful births,
right?
And as a result,
they are basically, it's a highly religious society, it's almost
puritanical.
Yeah, it's almost puritanical in the way that they actually have sex and impregnate them. Is it's really kind of gross. The wife is there holding
the handmaid's head is hitting,
yeah,
so that they're connecting.
Mm. Yeah, it's just a very uncomfortable thing to watch. It was a very uncomfortable book to read, but that's the point. It should be uncomfortable.
And what's the lead actress's handmaid's
Elizabeth Moss name?
Yeah, and she was in Mad Men. Secretary. So yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she I think she did a great job trying to carry that.
And Gilmore Girls, Alexis Bledel, mm-hmm, is also in it.
Yeah.
I
did read that I had not read the book.
They cut a lot of the they cut a lot of the extra lands out just because, you know, she creates a kind of a geopolitical spectrum and they're centering on this one area. So
And they said they didn't do the thing where they had the African Americans up in the Midwest.
Right.
Because the TV producers were afraid that people would just constantly be asking, why aren't we focusing on that?
Right.
Which rightfully so, that would have been.
Yeah.
It would have been too much going on to cover in one series, so I think.
But it leaves place for them to cover other.
Right.
Yeah. In future.
I highly recommend the book. Yeah. Highly recommend the book. Margaret Atwood is an excellent, excellent author, and I recommend anything she writes, really.
So it's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're releasing a new episode every Wednesday. But we started last week, and we were able to watch 3 episodes right up front.
Yeah, they released 3.
Yeah, so... but just disturbing.
Yes.
And yet... riveting.
Yes. So,
those would be those 2 words.
Yes.
Speaking about also disturbing, Josh McDermott from Walking Dead ends up quitting social media altogether.
So Josh McDermott plays Eugene on Walking Dead, who is...
Mr. Mullet.
I kind of love the character. I love his characterization of Eugene. It's different from the comic book, but he is very... He's a very socially awkward person on the show, and it comes across in his speech patterns and the way he talks to people. But his character on the show has kind of joined in with Negan. And you don't know whether he's actually joined in with Negan or whether he's just trying to keep himself alive, which I personally believe he's just trying to keep himself alive. Because he's lying to Negan and telling him he was this important scientist before the fall, and which is what he was telling everybody else prior, just in an effort to keep himself alive.
Yeah.
But because did this arc, and at the final episode, he was the one who gave Sasha the poison that she took and killed herself with. He's getting death threats and all sorts of nasty comments on his social media. And so he just made a video today and just said, I'm out. I'm done for now. Just, you know, I think this is ridiculous. And I think it's, personally, I think it's ridiculous. It's a show, people. He's an actor and it's a television show.
I'm like, how stupid are people?
I know. It's really, this harkens back to like Leslie Jones when she started in Ghostbusters and they targeted her.
Oh.
And just...
Well, and the thing is like he says, I can't tell if you're coming after me or if you're coming after Eugene, so I am reporting all of these death threats.
You say, if you're going to give me death threats or if you're going to threaten the people around me, I'm going to the police and I'm going to report that shit. So, and good on him, because, you know, we tend to look at the internet as this faceless thing that you can post anything the hell you want, and you can't, really. You can't. And you may use a synonym or a whatever. Synonym. Pseudonym.
Synonym.
Yeah. Oh. You may use a pseudonym for your Facebook or whatever, but it is still tagged to you.
That's what I think. I'm like, I sometimes think about, like, I'm at work and I'll, you know, obviously kidding, will say, like, I'll kill you if you want to. And then I think, but I literally take that step back and I go, this is my work. I am. Like, they keep track of these. It's probably not best to write, you know, kind of a thing. And I, like... But the same thing goes for the public arena. Like, you're going to have an employer that's going to search you one day, and they might be able to find this stuff. Like,
And not only that, it's, you know... It doesn't go away. People seem to think if they post something on Twitter a year from now, nobody's going to ever be able to find that tweet. Yeah, they'll be able to find it. It's on your... It's a public record now.
And people are starting to store stuff on Internet Archive as well, which is basically a nonprofit store. You can find websites, all kind
of
stuff.
All sorts
of besides just doing a screen capture and put it in your hard drive, because people have terabytes worth of storage space. So it's like
somewhere out there is the hideous little webpage I made for the Carolina Renaissance Festival in 1997 on Word. And I know somebody stored it somewhere in an archive somewhere.
All those GeoCity sites. Yeah. Oh,
all
man.
Of the little running horsey gif. But nothing goes away. And this is tied to you. So be smart. It's a show. He's an actor.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What the hell?
I am a little bit happy that they're talking about, at least Twitter is, that you'll have to, because people have so many different Twitter accounts and they use them for these purposes, mm-hmm. but that they're going to make it so you have to verify it with a phone number. And you'll only be able to have like 3 Twitter accounts with the same phone number. Like you won't be able to, like you yeah. have to start verifying it. Because Facebook does yeah. it.
Does Google that does that too. Degree, Google, so, you know, like yeah. the you Google Plus, so many, you yeah. have to verify a phone number. And Facebook, yeah,
people can get like Google phone numbers.
Yeah, and, but that's, you know, it's still just tied to something.
Yeah.
And, like, you know.
It's an extra layer, so.
Don't be an yeah. asshole.
Just don't. Yeah,
just don't be an asshole.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Please
yeah.
don't.
Speaking of not being a dick, the Defenders trailer didn't suck. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it a lot. And I think it has all those elements. The sarcasm of Jessica Jones. The, you know, they address the elephant in the room. I love that in the trailer we see Stick, who we saw in Daredevil, return again. And he calls it out like he sees it. Pun intended, as he talks about the fact, hey, you know, we've got this iron fist and we've got this unbreakable man and we've got this, you know, Danny Rand's like, hey, we've got, you know, he turns to Jessica Jones and goes, what are you again? You know, it's yeah. like, so,
classy.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Luke Cage just looks at her like, really? So, I loved it. Cool. I'm excited about it.
Well, and over on the Marvel side, I think it's in, yeah, next month in June, Brian Michael Bendis, who created Jessica Jones back with his comic book Alias, which was a Max imprint and had Luke Cage in there. He is writing the comic book Defenders, and it has this team, even though he pitched it before the Netflix thing, but he didn't know it was going to be called Defenders, so they're obviously calling it Defenders because it's the same team basically, but
yeah.
So anyway, you can read all about the adventures and see our work too. So
yeah, so Carol and Tiffany, you got to see American Gods.
We did
The first episode.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
I really liked it as well.
Good.
It's a weird vibe show.
It's a very weird vibe show.
Very weird vibe, very weird. It's like you're kind of like, what's going on? And I felt like you're probably somebody who read.
I've read the book.
So yeah. I did not.
I figured both of those, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I did not. I am so glad, though, to see Ian McShane. I feel like Ian McShane is, like, one of the most amazingly talented actors I've always felt this way. Like, I made my friend and I watched it, and I made my friend look up the show from 2009, which was called Kings.
Yes.
Which was about like the story of David and because I thought he was amazing on that show. I remember him on that show and I was like floored by him. I think he has such presence, and the fact that he's like never been as famous as like a Al Pacino or something, like, because I feel like he has like this presence and gravitas on screen.
He makes the word fuck sound Shakespearean.
Yes, he's amazing.
If you've ever watched Deadwood, I loved him in Deadwood. But fuck was like the third word that came out of his mouth the entire series. Yeah. But he made it sound nice. He made it sound... And if you... I mean, go way back. I loved him in Lovejoy in the 80s. I just think he's very talented. I also think he's incredibly handsome, even though he's, you know, mid-70s.
He's in the 70s, yeah.
Wow.
He really...
But he plays Mr. Wednesday.
Mr. Wednesday.
Who, a little spoiler for those of you who have not read the book, this is Odin.
Odin, yeah.
the story is about how old gods are actual gods, but they never went away. They just, you know, migrated to America. You were introduced to Odin, or Mr. Wednesday, in this episode. And Shadow Moon is the gentleman who got out of prison, and he hires
him. Is Shadow Moon a god?
No.
Okay, because I couldn't figure that part out, because he didn't seem to be aware of it, if he was.
He's not.
He's a handsome man. For those that are interested in watching shows,
and if you want to see handsome, again, this is a good show for good-looking people. If you want to see two good-looking guys beat the shit out of each other in a bar, you got Shadow Moon and the Leprechaun going at it.
I could see you liking the Leprechaun. The like he didn't do anything for me, but
Leprechaun. But I really enjoyed it.
Okay, so you know it's by Brian Fuller, who did Hannibal, and I feel like it must, I did not look it up, but it must be the same cinematographer, or Brian Fuller has an eye, that's for sure, yeah. And like, this show has this weird layer to it, but it's beautiful and stunning. Like, there was this one scene where there's, the rain is coming down, and it seems like this hugely saturating, like, beautiful ethereal thing, like, I really was enthralled by the graphics in this show.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
And the violent, it's an incredibly violent show.
Yes.
There's a lot of blood, but it's portrayed almost stylistically.
Oh, it's kind of like, what was that, where he was a gladiator?
Spartacus?
Spartacus.
Spartacus, yeah.
The blood flew the same way. This must be a Stars thing.
Yeah, because it's very stylistic bloodletting. It's just people are just like big balloons of blood.
Yes.
Bloody. I'm looking, this is going to be one of those shows where I'm just like, okay, God, is it Sunday yet? Come on.
Yeah, I'm like looking forward to getting into the story. There's a old god that does some interesting stuff when she has some sex.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. But I really recommend
that
it.
That was still kind of sad because that poor guy was just like, oh.
But he got the best boning of his
best,
life.
He got the best fuck right at the end.
Yep.
So, I'm really looking forward to it. I was not really worried about this. When they cast Ian McShane as Mr. Wednesday, I was like, I'm okay. I think I'm okay with this. So, and then cool. They cast Peter Stormare as Vulcan, and I was like, I'm doubly okay now. We're good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So check it out. It's really good.
Nice.
It is worth signing up for Stars if you don't have it.
So, and then we go straight from the old gods to the old guard.
Yeah, so this is a comic book put out by Image Comics. It's novelist Greg Rucka has been doing comics for a while, and then Leandro Fernandez is doing the art, and they work fantastically together. It's beautiful stuff. Basically, there's three issues out. This is an ongoing series, but it's basically, what if you are mortal, and you're immortal, but you don't know why? So it's not like Highlander, where you have to kill everybody and be the last one. Sometimes you are blessed, and when you die, it is your last death. So you never know. You never know if you're in a battle, if that really will be, you'll finally be granted death. And so there's one immortal, and she basically is the oldest one from like the 11th century. And she has these flashbacks of like in these battles in France, and just because they gravitate towards war, and they're all mercenaries, so they're like, this is the perfect thing to do because they have a better chance of dying, and they still have to make money and these type of things. But it's just, it's really interesting because it's like, you live, some of the mortals like her have been around for centuries, they actually want to die, but they don't know when it'll be, so they're just completely fearless. And they just never know. And then some of the, there is a mortal who just died in Afghanistan, and she comes back. She's basically born at that time, was what they call it. And so she's like thinking this is incredible. And then all the immortals are like, you can't see your family anymore. Anybody that knows you, you have to cut off ties completely. You have to close down all your social media accounts because they're like, trust us. They see you, they will fear you, or they will want to be you. And there's no way for them to be us. And so it's really interesting. And there's these people that discover they're mortals, and they're chasing them because they want to harness that and live. They think they want to live forever. But it's just really fascinating.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's, the first issue was just a regular price comic, but it was 46 pages. So it's definitely worth it. So, but lavishly illustrated and colored. Just, it's a beautiful book. So yay for Image.
Yay. Woo-hoo. And finally, the question that is burning through all of our brains.
What's that?
Is Stan Lee really the same character in every single cameo he does?
So Marvel folks have been, Kevin, I think it's Feige that kind of oversees a lot of this stuff. He has been kind of cheeky lately and basically, you know, not denying the rumors like he was before. He was saying, no, that's just, you know, it's just a cameo. There's nothing to it. Now he's like, well, you never know. So it's kind of just a little flirtation. And I think that part of it had to do with because Guardians is coming out. But
yes.
So, yay. Anyway. But yeah, so a lot of the speculation is that he is actually a Watcher, which in Marvel are these kind of giants with huge heads that are bald, that wear these cool capes and live on the moon, the dark side of the moon. And they watch, each Watcher has a particular planet or galaxy that they oversee and just observe. And they're not allowed to interfere. And occasionally they do, though. So if you ever watched Fringe, that's what a lot of those guys were kind of based on, actually. They were kind of based on that. But so anyway, we'll see. It's exciting. And of course, Stanley's getting a little bit older, so we don't know what will happen here.
Exciting. I'm wondering if they like filmed a whole bunch of cameos.
They did.
So they did?
Oh, good.
Just so it will continue on after.
Yeah, they've filmed like four or five, and I will say, no spoilers, his cameos are able to transcend. They're not so story specific that you would have to whatever. So
very exciting.
So very interesting stuff. Well, just before we wrap up, don't forget to check out our calendar, our community calendar, which is going wild and strong over on charlottegeeks.com. If you go there, you'll actually be able to see some of the events we have going on this weekend, such as Free Comic Book Day, and able to look ahead too and see if there's anything you want to get tickets to, like the Ballantine Corral that we had on the podcast before.
Con Carolinas.
And Con Carolinas. You definitely want to get your tickets for that. Sherilyn Kenyon, as well as Voltaire, will be there. So make sure you go ahead and check that out, and make sure that you check out the calendar pages. Also, we've posted some new articles over there. Unstoppable Failure, who are friends of ours. They used to be part of Mon Frere, which hasn't been doing as much lately. Unstoppable Failure, mostly spearheaded by the brothers Schrader, but they're doing a thing called Sketch a Day May, where they're doing a video every day in May, at least every weekday in May, but they've done quite a few ahead. Of course, today's the fourth day, so there's four videos to watch. They're not very long, but they're very funny.
They were fun. They did it last year, too, right?
Yep. Valentine Wolf has put up some new production videos about their upcoming musical number, so make sure you go and check that out. We also have a little bit about the band English on there. This week's Muggles Market Spotlight is on a sticky obsession, and if you've ever seen Carol's car, you know that she loves
them. I have a sticky obsession. Yes.
And of course, we've already mentioned that Starnslord put up his spoiler-free version of a review for Guardians of the Galaxy, as well as his review of A Colossal Surprise. The movie Colossal, so make sure you check that out. And then just to go over to the calendar pretty quickly, as long as everything loads effectively. Then remember, if you have an event, you can also post it on there, and there's no charge to do that. So tonight being Thursday night, of course, it's May the 4th be with you. There's a special Painting with a Twist option. You can go and see trivia over with Merely Players Trivia. There's also Potion and Pixels is doing an event over at Hattie's Tavern. And there's Trivia Night, as always, with the Charlotte Geeks. Spamalot is running this Friday through May 14th down in Spartanburg, featuring our own Stan Peel from The Real Guys and the Geek Gala. This Saturday, we have the Concord Mini Con going on, as well as Free Comic Book Day at Rebel Base. If you want to see Guardians of the Galaxy with the Charlotte Geeks, you can do that Sunday. They're going to see the IMAX 3D version. And Monday night, we've got the Merely Players Trivia again. And on Tuesday, you have the May Geek Book Club doing Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson.
Good book.
And then next Thursday, the 11th, is the Define American Film Festival. That's running May 11th through May 13th. kind of talking about Who is an American, very interesting film series. And then again, we have the trivia on Thursday night. And then also, as I mentioned, the Ballantine Chorale is presenting their Pick Your Battles. It is at 4 o'clock on Saturday. It's only $10 for a ticket. And it's an excellent opportunity to go out there. And then looking forward, we have Bumps and Books, the Goosebumps Book Club on May 20th. We have Bay Day, where you can go and dance with a Charlotte Jam group. And then, of course, Con Carolina is June 2nd through 4th. You're going to want to make sure you check that out. So
I'm going to plug a couple of things that haven't made it to the calendar, and I'll remind them to put them on there. There is a Creativity Out of Context event this Sunday at Legends in Raleigh, benefiting a local teen who is going to New York for college. And then there, Nirvana's Animazement, this is a conjunction with the Riot Kittens, so it's the Riot Kittens and Nirvana's Animazement Burlesque, is the day before Animazement, the Thursday night before Animazement, and the date is skipping my mind, but that is Memorial Day weekend. So the Thursday before Memorial Day, okay. And again, Legends in Raleigh.
Awesome. Alrighty. So, you know, wherever you are, make sure you check that out. Support local.
Yes.
Support local.
Put your events up on the calendar, or tell people that there is a calendar so they can put them up.
Yes. Put up your dukes and duchesses and other things.
And tell us what date they're on. Yes.
And on that note, Carol.
I'm pushing the button.
Push the button.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstoffer. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.